Okay, we're in Pei Dal, Halach Yud Al. Last time we spoke about the point that Adam Kotler made, that he said, if I say to somebody else that this Hefsher is no good, that person has no right to believe me that the Hefsher is no good, because I'm a Negev Adav, or I work in Kashrus. For me, I'm a competitor to that other Rabbi Machshir, and therefore I should never, you can never trust those kind of, the people who tell you that information are not people who you could trust. Maybe you could trust people who are not involved in Kashrus, but then those people don't understand what they're looking at, so they wouldn't be able to accurately report it. Right, so
who's the second
level? For the tape, we're not saying. There's an open call, but that's, and therefore, Mamela, any person, in effect, what he's saying is, he wasn't in effect, it was in truth that he was saying was, any person who's a Shemar Torah Mitzvah, who's otherwise a reputable person, that person, if he says that the food is kosher, then it's fine, you can eat it. No problems. Okay? We even said that he thought it was a mile in his way. He said that if we trust our way and we make mistakes, we're up the creek. We do it his way. You always follow Erech and then Bisurin. You do what the Bershom wants from you, and you're always safe. Don't worry, even if you end up being trapped, it doesn't make a difference. The Bershom told you to eat it. It's on
time. Let's say, you know, I don't want you to race us, but you heard that his policies of how he does things.
So we said,
are you allowed to ask, call him up and say, hey, how do you do this?
So we started. At the very beginning last time was that we're only talking about when you say the person doesn't do a good job at what he does. If you know that the person has a weaker stand, then you call him up and say, Chanyanko, tell me, how often do you visit this plane? Or is it Hall of Israel? Is it, what's your stand for this and this thing?
The standards in inspection and the standards in Shidduch and Halacha.
Right, so all those questions, right, so we're talking about it, not that on out of standing. You say, is he never shows up on this plane. I know that he never visits his planes. So that's just saying he's not doing a good job at what he's doing. If you'd call him, he would say he visits his planes. You know, so, but someone else said, nah, he doesn't do a good job. He doesn't know what he's looking at. Okay. So those are kinds of things that I'm taking someone's judgment. Okay, so now. So today we're going to try to talk about some reasons why that's not correct, and why, in fact, we don't do what that person said. This Adam Godel is saying, you know, throw out recommendations. No such thing as recommendations. Just, you, if the person, find out if he's a Sherman Torah Mitzvah, if he is, then you trust him. No problem. Okay. So, I'm going to start sort of from the end, chronologically, which is, I was in Baltimore recently, so I asked Rabbi Heinemann what he thought about this. I asked him for his opinion on this thing. So he instantly responded. It was instant. He says, not a question. He says, Rabbi Hanan says that the rules of Negea are only for Dini Mominus, maybe for Ishus. He says, but for Issa Behetta, there's no such thing. Because for Issa V'Heter, it's as much negated to me as it's negated to you. It's only this kosher or treif that's negated to me as much. It's not more negated to me than it's negated to you. And therefore, there's no such rule as a negated bedover when it comes to Issa V'Heter. The whole idea that's in the Chosh Mishpah part of Shulchan Aruch, in the Yeridei part of Shulchan Aruch, those rules don't apply. He says, where do we know that Echad Nem Bisurin? So we talked about this a few weeks ago. Having a Echem Bisurim from a Zava. No, Zava isn't a Gay Bedover. She's talking about herself. She's saying Eidus about something that's very personal, related to her. He says, so you see there that Gay Bedover doesn't make a difference. So I said, I won't think about it. That was news to me. So I said, okay, hold on, we'll think about it. I went to find Rabbi Hanan. It's in a few places. No. So Rabbi Hanan, now, and then I came back to Rabbi Hanan a few days later and said to him, you know, now that I saw it, I said to him, you know, I said, there's a couple things. First of all is, the riots that Rabbi Hanan brings are very, very similar. I don't know if it's exactly the same, but very similar to the Marit that we spoke about. We spoke about last time, and Marit says that you only consider a game bedover if it's financial. If it's not a financial negias, you just have some other reason why it's negated to you, that doesn't count. That was, we talked about it, it's a machlokes nachronim, whether that's true or not. And the riots are very similar. I don't know if exactly, but they have, you read the two of them together, it's like, wow, it sounds very similar, you're reading that. So it could be that it depends, they're dependent on one another. Either you say, for Isvahetu, there's no negias, or if they're not financial, there's no negias. But in our case, we have a funny case here where it's Isvahetu with a financial side to it. Okay? Or say this a different way. Over here, it's not a question of the issa v'heter, like Yankee said. We're not talking about the issa v'heter. We're talking about, do I have a financial negiz to it? I, the hashkocha, I don't like him because I want to get more business, and therefore I have a negiz, and therefore don't believe me because of my financial negiz. Okay, so it's a sort of a mix of cases. Okay, then there's another thing. Rabbi Hanan really doesn't say it about negevedor. Rabbi Hanan says it about a karev. He says the rules of a karev, Rabbi Hanan is medayi, he says, whenever the Gemara talks about it, he says, karev or apostle. He says, karev and apostle are not the same thing. Okay? And Rabbi Hanan talks about that a karev, the reason why we don't believe him has nothing to do with his not being trusted. We don't, even don't believe karevim when it has nothing to do with trusting him. The Gemara, he says, even if the Edom are karevim to each other, all kinds of riots that he has, it has nothing to do with believing the person. If apostle is someone who we don't believe, a karev is somebody who has a different kind of, it's just a serious custom that it's a psul. The psul of karev, Rabbi Hanan says, doesn't apply to issa v'heter. Okay, but he doesn't say this straight out, but he sure implies that the psulim of pasul, which is in the game, but never would apply, which is what we're talking about. We're not talking about a karev. In other words, a zava is the reason why she would potentially be pasul because she's a karev, not because she's in the game. Okay, anyhow, so Rabbi Heinemann had some rights back, and we talked about this back and forth. Oh, I'm skipping some of those parts. We have more to do, but in the end, he says this. Just listen here. He says, if the people are the people, then, and they tell you that it's not a good hashgacha, then you believe them. He says, that's the way it is. He said, they're the people, he says, then you don't believe them. Okay, so, it's very interesting how he a number of times, he kept using the word erlach. Okay, he kept saying if they're Erlich people, and the feeling that came across was that he had something in mind. You know, about people who spread rumors who are not so Erlich. Okay, he wasn't saying what he meant.
Let me put in a film, you're saying.
What did he say? Right.
I don't mean more than just put in a film.
Right. He didn't mean that they just happened to be Shermer Shabbos. He meant this people who are really out there doing the same thing.
You're involved. You can speak to him.
Okay. So he was in Eretz. He was away. So he was away. He didn't come back till the day. Okay. I didn't get to speak to him. Okay. So now. So let's put that on the side. Rabbi Hanan is just like he thought he had this right from Rabbi Hanan, and there may be what to talk about. In the end, he says, listen here, there are other people. Okay. So now, there's an answer that L'Chaira would answer our question, why should we trust the people? But before we get there, I have to set something up just so you'll understand what I'm about to say. This Adam Gondol is saying, everybody's in the Gevedah. We tried to say last time, well, maybe everyone's not in the Gevedah. Maybe, for example, as an example, what I just said, maybe to be in a gay b'dov, you have to have a financial interest. And maybe people who work in Hashkocha don't have a financial. Maybe my negiz, I'm not considered, and again, because if the CRC does better, does that trickle down to making me money? Maybe that's not considered financial. We talked about those. In other words, we said is, maybe it's not so negiz. And we said is, the person, whether he's in a gay, you then have to trace it back to the source. Trace it back to the person who reported the information. Not the person who reported the information, but the person who really is creating this information. Okay? As we said, if the mashgiach in a plant is the one who's creating the information and we're just repeating it, you have to say that guy is negei b'davar. Some people might be negei, and some people might not. Okay, so we have two ways at this point. Comes along whenever most people who I have said this thing to, which is I said this person said that everyone's a negei b'davar, and therefore you can't trust anybody with giving you cash information. So most people's reaction to that is, really? So that if so, you'll never know hashgach is no good. If a guy's doing a horrible job, you'll never know. You should need everyone's hashgach. That's many people's gut reaction to it, which is not a halachic reaction. So you'll never know. So you just go around, you'll never know. So it turns out that reaction that many people have actually might be the answer to our question. And that is it is. We've been looking at Simon Lamed Zayin, that's a Simon of a Negev Adover, what's called Yesh Lein Hanov Adover, a Negev Adover, and we had talked about even till the second to last halacha, which is Chavalf, which where the Chabad said is, in these kind of things, look really carefully. Pay a lot of attention, dig to try to understand if a person has a Negev to it. Okay. The very next halacha, in Chavdeis, the Ramah says something. And he says, when it comes to Shailas of Tzorche Ha'ir, things have to do with communal issues. He says, the minig is that we trust even a person who's negev adover. I told you this whole sim that people who are negev adover, we trust those people. And the reason is because, if not that we would trust the people who are negev adover, he says, there would be no way to get our information. We're talking about, what was the deal that the shul made with the chazan about how long his job is for and this and that? Well, the only people who know are the people in the city. There isn't anybody who knows except for the three guys who daven and shul together. Who else will know what deals we made or what the arrangements were or what happened? So if we won't trust the people who are the gebedaver, We'll never know what happened. There isn't anybody else who's involved who's not in a Geva Dover. And there's a similar halacha in Lamed Hei. The Rambam says the same thing in Lamed Hei, a few simanim back, that there are in certain situations...
Where's this first halacha?
It's in Lamed Zayin, the very list, Ramon Lamed Zayin, Chopeis.
Yeah, there?
Chosh Mishpah in the Geva Dover. And in Lamed Hei, there's a similar halacha that we believe Katanim and Noshim, who are usually not Kosh La'edas, in certain situations where they're the only ones who could possibly know the information, we trust them also. Also, a minute also that we trust these people. In other words, it's the way that the place can say it's like a kibbutz liar, we accept it to take the edus, because otherwise there'll be no way to down on certain situations, certain personal situations, whatever it is, that only Nashim Katana would know about. So we take their edus, even though, of course, Nashim and Katana are not cultural edus. In certain situations, there's no other way to know the information, and therefore we trust Nashim Katana. And in our case, over here, we trust in the Negev Dover, because there's no other way to know what's going on. If not, that the Negev Dover will tell you. And okay, the Ramos talking about Tzarki the ear. Things that, you live in a little town, who else is going to know the information except for the people in the town, and they're all in the Geva Dover. So, in that case, we believe in the Geva Dover. So, if that's true, if we would apply that to our situation, then we would say that since, well, how am I supposed to know if a Hashgach is a good job? The layperson has no way of figuring it out. He has no way of knowing whether the guy's doing a good job. Even if he walked into the plant, he wouldn't know. Of course, he's not even going to walk in, but even if he did. So our only way to know that information, whether someone is or is not doing a good job, is from other people in Hashgacha who cross paths with this person. They visit his plans, they interact with him, they have some dealings with him. So we may be stuck to say is, since that's the only way to know really whether the person is doing a good job or not, therefore, we're allowed to take a person who's in the game, or else we have no other choice.
But the person who's inspecting is also a negative daughter. Maybe he wants to criticize. Perhaps
that's what we're talking about. No, that's what we're talking about. That person is a Geva Dover. The question is, we're saying it's true that he's in a Geva Dover. But the Rambam says, if the only way to know something is through persons who are in a Geva Dover, then we're trusting. There's no other way to know. How I know if you're doing a good job in Hashkoff, unless he once visited your plant and he saw it.
Can't we look at the plant itself to see how complicated it is? Like, for sure, midaraisa, most places are kosher. And then even midrabanan and everything, it just comes out. He doesn't really have to do an excellent job.
He's not doing hashgacha.
The question is, if he's not doing anything, let's say they're making. Let's say they're making grape juice.
Yeah.
So they have to look
to see what are they making. That's question number one.
I know, but we're talking about something that needs hashgacha to it. So we're talking about something that's,
oil company.
Kosher sensitive.
Okay, so now it comes out. What comes out now is punk fucker from what we thought until now. Punk fucker, which is this Abul Gogol says everybody's in the Geva Dover. According to them, everyone's in the Geva Dover. The Rambam says fine, believe them all. Doesn't make a difference. You can believe everybody. But if you listen to me and you say no, most of the people are not in the Geva Dover. Most of the people because it's not financial, or because it's not personal, or they don't have anything to gain from it. If you listen to me, then the Rambam doesn't apply. Because if you listen to me, that many people are not in the Geva Dover, then you have to weed out those people. But when you call up someone and say to them, tell me, isn't this Hashgacha good? They'll say to you, no, it's no good. Now you have to say, wait a second. Is he in the Geva Dover? Is he not in the Geva Dover? So you say, really, Beryl, how did you know that information? He says, oh, I never visited the place. But I heard it from him and trace it back to who it came from and find it'll come out. You'll have to find out the person. Now you'll have to do more work, according to the way I'm saying it now, is that if the only reason to trust the person is because otherwise we'll know nothing, there's no way to know anything, then you could trust everybody. If you say, but you trust it because we have no other way of knowing it, but I'm saying only some people are in the gear, then you really have to weed them out. In our stories from last week, you'd have to weed out some of those stories. We would say he's in the gear, and some of them he's not, and we'd have to then believe it sometimes and not believe it other times. Okay?
I mean, Rabbi, we hear here, in the office where I go up to so-and-so and ask them what's in this. They want that company, so therefore they're not saying. We do.
Okay. We have one last. We have one last part. One last part to deal with, and that is, let's say either because of this Ramah, or we say because of our own reasons, or whatever reason we have, Rabbi Heinemann's reasons. We have some reason why we're willing to trust the person that even though he seems to be in the game, but we're willing to trust the person. Okay. So now I have a question. So now we have two people in the room. I give hashgachas, and Rabbi Eisenbach walks in and says, I'm not doing a good job in my hashgacha. Okay? He says, I'm not doing a good job. And for whatever reason, even though Rabbi Eisenbach is the get, we're willing to trust him anyhow. Okay? We're willing to trust him anyhow. So the question is, why do we trust him more than me? He's saying, I'm not doing a good job. I'm saying I am doing a good job. So why, again, the first question, the question we've mainly been talking about is, why do we trust him at all? He's a negei b'dor. So let's say we overcame that problem with negei b'dor. But he says I'm not doing a good job. I said I am doing a good job. So why are you trusting him more than you trust me? What's the reason to take his word more than my word? There are situations when we have two edim. And there's a few dakechuvas about it in Siman Aleph. We're going to get to Siman Aleph in a second. There's a few dakechuvas about it. What happens if the two Adim came in separately? Meaning this guy gets hashgacha on 10 plants. One guy visited this plant, and so he was doing a bad job. And one guy visited that plant. So we have two Adim. So, okay, there may be situations when we'll have two Adim against the guy, and then we'll have reason to believe it. Okay, but in most cases, it's not two Adim. Why trusting him more than me? Why should you trust you more than me about this information? You say, it's trade. I say it's kosher. So why do you trust you more than me? So again, sometimes there'll be two Adim to say that I'm not a good guy. Sometimes you'll say there are two Adim that make me say that I'm no good. Two, and potentially even if they're separate Adim, there's a bunch of Daki Chuvas about it. Okay. So now, there's such a thing. It happens to be the Mechaber there in Siman Aleph, when he talks about this situation. We'll get to this Mechaber in a second. He does say, Mikol Mokon Hakol Lefi Mashahu Adam. Okay, implying that there may be situations when you look at the two people and you say, him I know, he knows what he's doing. Him I'm not so sure about. I'll take his word on it.
What is the Mechaber talking about?
I'm getting to the Mechaber in a second. He's talking about this kind of a situation where you're judging between people. Okay. There's a Pesach Tshuva. He says like this. There was a person who was a Shochet in town. And the Shochet was on his deathbed. And the Rav comes in to see him. And the Shochet says to the Rav, you should know that I've been serving treif to people right and left. I don't know if every time he did it, but lots of the things he served was treif. Right and left, he's been serving treif to people. And here he's on a deathbed. See, he wants to be the svada that he did all these things wrong. And I guess he has to run what he's supposed to do, but I don't remember the whole story. What?
Fast 3 days.
So he next week I'll fast 3 days. Right? So he tells this to the Rav. The Rav announces to everybody, whatever he has to say. Lo and behold, the guy lived. Maybe he did tshuva, so he lived. I don't know. So he lives. So now the guy gets up, and then he hears the Rav's going announcing, the guy's food has been treif all along. He says, what are you talking about? I never said that. So the guy denied that he was murdered to the Rav. The Rav's walking around saying that the Shaykh had told me that everything he's been serving is treif. And I said, I said that? You're crazy. I haven't said that. He says, you were dying last week. You told him, no, never happened. Okay, so the Rav is saying that the Shaykh told him that he's been making the food treif. And the Shaykh says, I never said such a thing. Okay, so what's the name? So Shiva's scene. The Shiva's scene. So the Shiva's scene says like this. He says, the Rav has more nemanis than the Shaykhin. Why? The people have put their trust in the Rav to make their decisions or to decide about these kind of things for them. Therefore, it's sort of like a kind of a kimli. They trust him more than they trust the Shaykhin. And therefore, when the Rav said it, the Rav is believed more than the Shaykhin is. When the Rav says, the Shaykhin said it. And the Shaykhin says, I never said it. We believe the Rav because the Rav is the person to whom the people have put their trust into that person. So, you could potentially say that when you call up a hashgacha and you say to them, is this a reputable person? The people are putting their trust in these national hashgachas to trust them. And this guy living on the street over there, whoever he is, if not, he's just a regular person. And maybe you'll say, according to the Shiva Sin, that we should say is the national hashgacha has more credibility than the other person does.
What about the Heimish Hashgacha that goes against the National Hashgacha?
Right, so now, it'll depend then on your situation. And also,
their constituents put their trust in the Heimish Hashgacha.
Now, I thought the other way, but then it comes out, then, if your community wants to opt out of this system, and you want to go and do this Ogun Gadol, I told you last time, he says, we'll trust everybody! Look, this whole thing is going to be telling you, trust the National Hashgacha more than the other guys, because I put your trust into you. We could tell you plenty of rabbis who don't trust the national scholars at all. And he says, so we'll believe everybody then, okay?
I want to just say something. I think Yesh L'chalik, and I think it's where it is. Now, what is that if you see something, you say it's true, for you it becomes usher.
Okay?
You can't usher for everybody else. When someone's a rabbi of a kehillah, he is the kehillah. He is the kilo, so it's not shot that he's nemen more. He doesn't say
it's because he's the rope of the kilo. He says it's because the people put their trust in that person, and therefore he's more nemen. I'm going to give you.
Okay,
the rope is masculine.
The rope. You're saying a different answer.
Wait a second. You're saying a different answer for this city, what they should have done.
They should have seen that it applies to someone in another city.
Right. I'm not talking about what they should be in that city. Their dishes are long gone. We're just talking about what he answers. Okay, now, wait a second. One of the things that the Shiva scene talks about, that there's really a din about this thing, which is, you know, when I say this story, you'll remember, a lady says that a Chacham told her that a certain Mara is Tar.
Right.
And they go to the Rav, and the Rav says, no, I didn't say it was Tar, I said it was Tami. Okay, what's the din? It's a din for her. The lady goes and says, I brought the Mar to the Rav, and he said it was Tar. And the Rav says, no, I said it was Tami. What's the din? The din is, you believe the Rav. But what's the reason? So the Shiva scene talks about that he says the reason for that is because we put our trust in this person. She, by showing him the Mara, is putting her trust in this person.
For whatever reason.
And therefore, if he says, and I didn't say it, then... He brings us, he said, this goes along to what he says, that if the person you put your trust in, that's who you believe in. Now, that's what the Shiva Sin says. But that's not what the Shach says. The Shach brings the Ramban, this thing comes from a Ran and a Ramban, and they say that the reason for this thing is, the Ramban makes it like as if it's like an Xeris Akasov. He says that if someone is saying something from somebody else, the source automatically has more credibility than the person who's reporting the information. If I say that David told me this thing, well then, if David says otherwise, then why would you believe me? He's the source of this. So, he's the one who said it. So, in the case of the Mara, the source is the Rav, and the Rav is the person with more credibility according to Shiva Sin. But the case of the Shaykhid is exactly the opposite. Right. In the case of the Shaykhid is the source, and the Shaykh and the Rav is the one you put your trust in. So, really, the simple reading of the way the Shach says, it's Ramban, is that in the case of the Shaykhid, you should believe the Shaykhid, because the Shaykhid is the source of the information. The Rav is saying, the Shaykhid told me this. Well, the Shaykhid says he didn't say it. So the way the Ramban sure seems, it's the simple reading of the Ramban is that you believe the source, not that you believe the more credible person. The reason you believe in the Rav in the case of the Mara is because the lady saying the Rav told me. Well, it's the Rav, and the Rav tells you not like that. So, again...
It could be different, that maybe the Ramban will be motivated. To the shop, they motor there because there's a race on the guy who's dying. Right. Somebody who's dying.
Right.
He's what?
He wants to do tshuva.
He said I didn't say it.
He says now we're not dying, so he doesn't want to look bad.
I'm not saying it. No, isn't the right good case? How do you know? No, I told you again, nobody. You remember in the Hamra condition when they would have heard it, right?
There was a private conversation.
It's fine.
I'm not denying that he was dying. There's
not a million. No, he knows he was dying, but he said, I never said that. The Rav made it up.
So obviously there was nobody else there, right?
Right.
So maybe nobody... Somebody was saying,
I saw the Shach and the Ramban. She was seeing it all. So I guess he's learning here that what he said... Wait, I think... Prastambi, he thinks that that's Shach and the Ramban. Ramban says, we believe the person who it's coming from, rather than the person who's saying it over. He'll read into that. It's not the simple reading, but he'll read into that. Because that person is who we put our trust in. If the lady took the mark to the Rav, she put her trust into him. He's reading like that. It's not the simple reading of the Ramban. Okay.
I don't see the whole question. Let's say we don't know who to believe more than the other.
Right.
Well, you don't know what he's faking. They don't know what he's
faking. Oh, I think you're about to say I'm about to finish. And I was going to say is, we're making a big mistake. This din that we're talking about, you almost said it.
And all this, we're making a mistake.
The din we're talking about, I keep mentioning is that at the end of Simon Aleph in Yerudea, back to Yerudea, says, what this Pesach Tshuva is on is in the din of Shulchan Aruch. It says it like this. What happens if you have a Shulchan, you have a shaykhid, and somebody comes in and says, the shaykhid didn't do a good job. I watched him shecht it, and that cow that's over there, he didn't shecht it right. I don't remember what the details were. He says, he didn't shecht it right. What's the din? The din is, it's eight echad bar kosher. We don't believe the person coming in to say that he did a bad job. To the extent that the person himself who said the eaters would be allowed to eat that meat, except for Shavu and Av Shechetich and Yisrael. Put that on the side. But aside to that, the person himself, the din is, it's eight echo b'hakosha, and you're not allowed to believe the person coming in to say that the Shechet did a bad job. The guy himself can eat the next shechita that he does. That's what Machaber says. At the end, it's in,
yeah, I know what's the
are we talking about a shechita that's mochzut to be a shechita?
Yes, he's a good shechita.
What does it mean, Eidach HaFashu?
There's two Eidim. There's an Eidach that's saying that he did a good shechita. And Eidach that he
did.
And they cancel each other out. And we're left with,
who's the Eidach? Himself?
The guy that's a shechita says, I did a good job. And the guy who's walking in says, you did a bad job. You didn't do shechita properly.
And the Eidach HaFashu is a shechita.
That's what I asked.
Okay,
so. He messed up this one.
No,
he did a bit. No, he's not doing his job properly.
Not that.
He's talking about it specifically. I watched him chef the behemoth. He did a bad job. Not that he didn't notice it. He was obviously did a bad job, but he sold it his kosher anyhow. In other words, he's reporting that the shaykhid is sloppy. Not sloppy.
It's possible shaykhid, in other words.
Right.
You're not, you're incorrect.
Right. He's not just saying that the shaykhid did a bad job and. The shaykhid did a bad job. And he didn't notice it by mistake. He didn't notice. There was this little problem that he didn't even notice. No, I'm saying he noticed and he sold it anyhow. Okay, so now, that would tell us that we should not believe. If you read this simply, you should say, should we... If you read it simply, you're going to say to me, we should not believe the guy reporting. Even forget about his not gave it over. He's a good person. He's But, if you look more carefully, you feel exactly the opposite. It's going to answer a question. And that is, the... The Shach and Taz both argue on the Machaber, and they both say that the animals, you're not allowed to eat the animal. And the reason why is because you have Eidech Rebach Kosha, and we have Ischazki Surah. The animal was treif until the Shach did it was Lois Abuah, and the animal, so there's a Cheskas Isser, and you're not allowed to eat the animal. Even the Hesper that they give in the Machaber, what's the Psalm Machaber? What happened to the Cheskas Isser? It says, well, there's a Roiv. Roiv Mitzurin Eitzah Shechita Sheirim. So, if we have an Erechel Bakash as to whether he did a good job or not, so ignore them, and what do we have? We have a piece of meat that was shechted by somebody, an unknown person, an unknown quantity, as to whether that person was or was not a Shechit. The rule is, Roiv Mitzurin Eitzah Shechita Mubchanim, and therefore he's Kosher. So, Tashayel, what the Machaber is not our point, but our point is, in that case, there are special reasons why to be allowed to eat the meat. Okay, there's a roi that tells us she's allowed to eat the meat. In our case, it's punk fakert. If we have eidach bakhasha, we have one eid saying he's a good hashkacha, one eid saying he's a bad hashkacha. So we say what? Eidach bakhasha, what's it in? It's like they don't exist. So what are we left with? We're left with food that has no hashkacha. The food has no hashkacha. The Rabbi Machshir is saying it's kosher. The other person is saying it's not kosher, so what do we have? And they're bachasher, so we ignore them. So what do we have? We have nobody telling us about the food. So we have a bottle of grape juice, and that bottle of grape juice, one guy says it's kosher, one guy says it's treif.
The label
is saying kosher, and the other guy is saying it's not kosher. So we have eidach bachasher, and we ignore them. Now we have a generic bottle of grape juice that has no hashgacha on it. We're ignoring the person saying it's kosher. Again, in the case of the shechita, we ignore the person saying it's kosher, and we have right between the shechita mukhane. We have a reason to make it kosher. But over here, if we have no person saying it's kosher because we canceled them off by the guy on the outside, what are we left with?
The guy has a cheskas kosher before he was done.
No, the main difference, he has a cheskas kosher. His cheskas kosher is against the eidachar who's saying he's not a good eid. He's not a good hashkacha.
No. Until now, you had a cheskas kosher. Still, this might have happened, right?
This person had a cheskas
kosher. And now, this 21 says he's kosher, one is not kosher.
No.
I'm saying that food is kosher. I'm telling you that I made the food
kosher.
He says, you don't know what you're talking about. You did. The food is not kosher.
But till now, before this guy showed up, this person had a cheskas kosher, then would have presumed the food is kosher.
And that's it. On that part of his cheskas kosher, says, hey, that's about kosher. Right now, the shorichet is not kosher anymore. It's eidach bakosh on that. The only reason you had to eat the meat, you eat the meat not because the guy said, I'm a good shorichet. You eat the meat because Roy Mitzurin has a shorichet mukhanim. It's as if we don't want to have any idea with the shorichet. We just found a piece of meat. Yeah, that's the reason why, because Roy Mitzurin has a shorichet mukhanim. We eat the meat because we don't know the shorichet.
We found this piece of meat sitting here.
Right, that's correct. We found the piece of meat. We don't know who the shorichet was. We knew who shechted. Bayin who shechted it. We don't have any idea who it was. It's automatically it's kosher. Roy, that it's kosher. The fact that the person saying it's kosher, that was thrown out. His statement, I made this meat kosher, is worthless. Could we have an echo about kosher? So that's what goes on in our case. But in our case, we have no roif. In our case, it's like the Taz and the Shach. There's no roif. We have a piece of meat. We have no idea whether it's kosher or not. We don't have any roif. We don't have anything. We have a food that needs hashkacha, and we don't have hashkacha.
But you don't go after a rogue when it's Ev Shalvar, isn't it? Ev Shalvar, bring him to another rogue and find out if it's
kosher or not? No, that's okay. You go on a seminar. It's not a game for this part.
Let's say the master's organization, okay, there are other people who are also being made at the...
They do a good job. Yeah. You saying, so I said, I said that there are cases when we'll have two agents say that he's puzzle. I mean, people in different places. You're saying, wait a second, we have two agents on his side. He has all the people who work for him who all will corroborate that he's a good job. You say, okay, so that's a good point. So you say, we have a problem here, because if he's a freelance person, fine. But if he's working for a couple of people, let's say that someone said the CRC is no good. So the thing is, that's not just saying that Shalom Fishman doesn't do a job. David Oppenheim is going to vouch for Shalom, and we have more than... Okay, that's a good question. I didn't think of that. So you think maybe then it's less reason to be the person. Okay, that's a bottom line.